by Priscilla later. So this is a this goes in the lines of the last part of the discussion of how to find approximate methods to construct waveforms and extract information from extreme magnetic spirals. So basically the plan of the talk is the following. So first I sort of give a brief motivation that probably we all know about why to look for these schemes. Then I will very briefly review some of the previous ones, and if I miss something, please let me know. Then I will explain ours, which is called the Chimera scheme, just to change names and make it a bit more fun. And then I will just summarize where we are, because this is sort of work in progress, and what sort of things we would like to do with this. So I can say this is work with Nico, who will be here, I think, for maybe tomorrow, or, and he will explain other things related to us of these things. Okay, so I mean, as we know, the entries that are of interest for LISA are binary systems of extreme mass ratios with masses in those ranges, which implied all these mass ratios. And then essentially what is important to know is that the number of cycles that in principle one could expect to have in LISA and that could be detected are of this order. Maybe a bit lower, to the 10 to the 5, 10 to the 6. So and then, so I think that it's clear that we cannot produce waveforms or a full template bank of waveforms with that number of cycles by using all the machinery that we have been that we are developing for like cell force or even, I mean, things that involve PDE, solving PDEs, right? I think this is. So the idea is that perhaps we should also look at the same time we are doing these things for an approximate scheme that captures the essential characteristics of Henry's, so in particular information coming from the cell force calculations that we have been seen today, and that can produce waveforms that are accurate for at least for purposes of in science and very important in an efficient way. So, and the thing is that these waveforms are not only of use for the data analysis purposes for the future, but also we can also use them for parameter estimation studies to know what we can do with Henry's and what we cannot do. So here is methods that have been used in the past. I mean, there is the what we call the Newtonian waveforms, which are the ones that you can obtain by Peters and Matthews from many years ago. And basically, this is Newtonian trajectories plus waveforms with the quadrupolar approximation. So then we have the ones that were proposed by Leo and Barak, Leo and Kurt Carler. Those were used initially for parameter estimation studies, and basically this modify the Peters and Matthews by using all kinds of PN corrections to make them to have qualitatively the same effects as real Henry's. Then we have the ones of Tolkowski, done by Scott and Steve and among others, where you have Fulker geodesics plus modifications of them using the Tolkowski fluxes, and recently you can even produce the waveforms by integrating in the time domain the Tolkowski equation. These are also a bit expensive because they also involve PD calculations. Then you have the numerical clutch waveforms. As you can see in the paper, this paper of Stas and other people, also using formulas of the paper of Geram and Glamperakis, where they use the Kerr geodesics. So then you compute fluxes from Poincaré approximation that you can see, for instance, in this paper. And then you can get the waveforms you have constructed just from a multipolar expansion. So these are cheaper than this because this basically involve ODEs. And there have been some comparisons, and to some extent they sort of fit to a certain approximation. And then recently there has been the ones using the effective one body by Nico and other collaborators, where basically, and also here you can introduce these fitting parameters in the EOB system so to fit the results of the Tolkowski waveforms. This has only been done now at the moment for circular, and I think Nico is going to explain some extensions of this. Okay, so then we are going to do another sort of invention, and this is also, we call it Chimera because, for two reasons. First, because it's based on this Greek myth, where you have this female creature, where it's made up of three different other beings, a lioness here, a snake in the tail, and then this goat that comes from the center. So then, you get this creature, and so we are going to do something similar. So we are going to put some pieces together, and we are going to create a creature that we will see what it does. But also, Chimera is a good name because it also comes to mean that it's an impossible or foolish fantasy, and you, it's hard to believe. So beware of what we are going to say. So you can also see a confirmation in the encyclopedia. So okay, let's see what are the creatures that we are going to put together. So the first one, the lioness, we're going to be Ker geodesics, and then we're going to use a system of harmonic coordinates for Ker, okay? In particular for the trajectory in the Ker geodesics. And I will tell you why these harmonic coordinates are important for the scheme. So the next one, let's say the boat, is going to be a radiative cell force that comes from, this comes from all work of people have been doing using post-Newtonian approximations combined with asymptotic matched expansion. So I will tell you a bit about this. Finally, the snake will be a multipolar expansion of gravitational waveforms, which is pretty canonical thing, but all of these three, as I'm going to explain, have some connections. And therefore, I'm going to start from this one, from the second one. So this relative cell force from Mikulski approximation and this asymptotic matched expansion. So you can look at the details of this, for instance, in these three papers, but there are other papers in which they talk about this. And the basic idea is that, so you can determine the gravitational field of the system into different zones, which have different regimes, the near zone and the exterior zone. And then you can matching them these two solutions by using this asymptotic matched expansion techniques, then this forcing them to match at an overlapping region gives you the equation of motion. In particular, it gives you the cell force, what it comes from the equation of motion. So here, the solutions are going to be spun in G. So this is what I call post-Minkowskian expansions. And also, once you span in G, every term is spanning in multiples, of course, harmonic multiples. Okay. So basically, so I'm not entering many details because we don't have too much time, but the idea is that if you use, like in electromagnetism, you use the half retard minus the half advanced solution that gives you the radiative the relative piece of the solution, which is not what we know that general relativity this time gives you the whole cell force, just only gives you a part, this is this part. Okay, so one gets this expression. And then you do this a first order. So you can see that this cell force can be derived from two potentials, a scalar potential and a vector potential. Well, here, M, this is the mass quadrupole, this is the mass octupole, this is again the mass quadrupole, and this is the current quadrupole, and the things in parentheses are time derivatives, or derivatives. Okay, so you can see that they have high derivatives, and here immediately you can identify the famous Booker from relation action potential. But an important thing about this derivation is that it is assumed that you are using a harmonic case, or that you are, or that you are using harmonic coordinates for all this multipolar expansion. Okay, so the thing is, if you want to use this in combination with Ker geodesics, you cannot write the Ker geodesics in any coordinate system because then it's not it's at least at this level it's not consistent with this format, or it's not going to give you a right result. Also, this cell force it has two pieces. One that comes directly, as you will expect, from gradients of these potentials, which means that if you already have seen before, there is up to a 7 derivatives. So you take gradients, you are going to go, especially time derivatives, you are going to go to 8 orders, 10 derivatives, okay? But then...
Why are those potentials not just combinations of the metaperturbations?
Yeah, but then you solve for the metaperturbations, right? When you solve for the metaperturbations, you can expand the solution in multiples, which is what you get here.
Okay.
Okay. So the... Okay, so and then there is another piece which basically corresponds to an interaction term between the relative potentials and the near zone potentials, which basically is the stationary field given. So if you just consider a full resummation of it, it's just the Ker metric. Okay, so but I'm not going to put the details here because we are going to make this too long. So this thing here, the fact that is common here, that this assumes a harmonic case, this is what motivates us to now use the Ker geodesics, which everybody knows, but in harmonic coordinates. So it turns out that we didn't know that there were harmonic coordinates for this. And actually, we were confused a bit by this work, which I knew because it's a Spanish colleague. Well, he has some harmonic coordinates, but they are not in closed form, so they are not very useful for calculation. But then, using Google, Like I have to be honest, I don't quote the real tools of we use. So you said Google, we found a paper, which is in the paper, where they say that this guy here, which I haven't seen the actual paper, proposed this coordinate system. And here in this coordinate system, so these are the PR, theta and phi are the Boyer-Lindquist coordinates of curve. And then this, you can construct these four coordinates at a time and three sort of Cartesian type coordinates. And then you can check, well, and then here there is a function, which is a non-function. Actually, in the paper is a sort of a function that is not up to a quadrature. And we found that you can even integrate it in elementary functions. So it's very easy. Okay? So you can check, you can take Maple or whatever you like, and then check that this is indeed a harmonic coordinate system. So all of the coordinates are harmonic. Okay? So the next. So another thing, which is what we were doing before Google told us that these things existed, was to use what you can find in the famous review of Kipthorne, which is to use this asymptotic Cartesian and mass center coordinate. This is good if you, for instance, you know that, if you imagine that instead of knowing Kerr, you know only an expansion of the gravitational field to a certain number of multiples. Then you can always do an approximation to find the coordinates that adapt to this multiple in such a way that expansions in multiples are valid. Okay, and this is this may be an interesting path to follow in case one is interested to construct waveforms for objects that for MRIs that in which the massive black hole is not Kerr, no? Because I think when we see the proposals for LISA, sometimes there are proposals that say that we want to check whether the metric is Kerr or something else. So maybe we should also consider other possibilities at some point. Okay. So and finally, this is the snake, I think. So it's the expansion in multiple arrow.
Can you use those coordinates to, because you want harmonic to use post-Newtonian, but if you use those, can you still?
Well, it's opposing cost the answer. No. So what is the question?
Why do you say that the ACMC would be useful if you have?
Because you can have an expansion in the field. Of course, these expansions are not good enough, very near the horizon, or very near a very strong field. Maybe the object doesn't have horizon. But still, I mean, you have an approximation, you can find coordinates that will do the same role as harmonic coordinates to that level of approximation. Okay, so basically, I mean, this is the typical formula for waveforms in terms of multiples. And what we do here is that the coordinates that we use to compute these multiples are these harmonic coordinates. Okay, so basically, summarizing what is the procedure that we are using is the following. So you start with some initial data, which means that you have an initial position. And then some orbital parameters, you can specify the pericenter, eccentricity and inclination, or you can specify the typical cost of motion as you do the symmetries. Then you work the LC equations, just at a step, and you compute the trajectory in harmonic. Sorry. Okay. So then you from this you compute this dissipative cell force. Then you estimate the change in the cost of motion because this is only dissipative, so this is the only way we use this force. So here are the expressions for the change in the energy, angular moment of Catherine constant. Then you evaluate the waveform. You can do this actually at any time because you don't have to save the trajectory and the derivatives, and then you go back to one. And the thing is that because this cell force doesn't come from any average procedure. So in principle, you can use an arbitrary time step and try to get waveforms as smooth as possible. Okay, so this is not a present. So basically, we have already written codes that implement all these things, and the main difficulty is that you have these derivatives, and as you know, to compute derivatives numerically is much more difficult than doing integrals, and this requires that you use higher order differential rules, and this is an extrapolation. And this is an extrapolation for two reasons, to improve the accuracy, and also to check that you are not that you are making accurate calculation, because if you take a very small time step, it's bad. But if you take a very big one, it's bad too. So you have to know where is the the real, and there is a window. There is a window in which things work, but you have to look for the window. Okay, so the idea is that we want to compare with other methods, of course, and also study how this sequester function evolves and compare with other approximations. And for the future, we would like to use this for parameter estimations. And of course, you can improve this by introducing other information that we can get from the self-force, in particular conservative pieces. And if you want to dream, maybe to use to other geometries or to apply these sort of schemes to other geometries or other theories. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Carlos, for sticking to time. We have plenty of questions.
So I was thinking, so when you evaluate the radiation reaction potentials, mm-hmm. so you have to evaluate all of those derivatives, but wouldn't it be just as good to say, to evaluate those derivatives, you could assume geodesic motion and replace all second order derivatives by what is on the right hand side of the geodesic mm-hmm. equations and keep the rating like this, so that in the end you have something in, involving only first derivatives?
Yeah, so, yeah, no, we do this actually. So for the waveforms, it's fine because they don't require too many derivatives. But if you look, for instance, at the third derivative, okay, only, and then you just take Maple and put there the Christoffel and all that, and you see what you get. It's already, you can handle it. It's no problem. But then you go to the fourth derivative, then things start becoming a monster like the Chimera, and the fifth is more. And at some point, you wonder whether to evaluate too many terms can also deteriorate the accuracy, because maybe. Also, in this evaluation, how do you know that all the cast tensions occur properly? So what we are doing is we don't take the derivatives of the trajectory. We just compute the multiples, and you can compute the second derivative analytically because, and then we take derivatives of the multiples already. So and then you need to do six order numerical derivatives, which is a bit getting into, so going beyond that it will be problematic. No, because I have waveform, but if I show you just a waveform, it's not going to tell you anything, right? So no, the thing we want to compare with other schemes and see how these waveforms deface or compare, and this is what we are not getting. But
you were talking about a compromise in the order of the when you take all these derivatives. Mm-hmm.
So for the moment I have been developing this and I have not compared with I can do this numerical clutch waveforms. I also have but we have not yet. We finished recently to tune all these time derivative calculations. It has been one of the things has taken more effort, so this is something we have finished recently, so we couldn't get in, but you will hear news about this.
So what's the advantage of that compared to what Steve Glasgow and others are doing, the numerical
glitch
that doesn't
involve
possible?
Yeah, so the ones based on Tarkovsky, this is something, one thing, and then the other things are the ones that are in this clutch paper, these are based on fluxes that I think already have analytic expressions in terms of Poissonian formulas. And then they are even fitted to Tarkovsky, right? So they are fitted to so. But there, for example, to mention a bunch of this that comes from the harmonic coordinates. So at the end, what you have to do is you go to infinity to compute the waves, and then you construct there a coordinate system of Cartesian coordinates, which is sort of a arbitrary because they are obviously not harmonic. So there also probably is inducing an error in your waveforms. Right?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bueno, here are the other errors, of course, I mean, it's not a...
Well, we can continue with that during the discussion.
Okay.
If necessary, so we should move on to the facilities talk now.
Mm-hmm.